1 Corinthians chapter 13. Preach on something this morning that we're all guilty of. Just being honest. You know, sometimes if we ain't careful, we come to God's house and we're doing, you know, good. And I ain't going to say, you know what I mean. We come to God's house, we're doing good. We've been faithful. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. And every once in a while, God just kind of hits us between the eyes with something. And you realize, well, I ain't doing good as I thought I was doing. You pray for me this morning. Seemed like the last couple of times I got to preach Tuesday night up in one night of a revival up in Nebo, North Carolina. And the Lord led me to a passage of Scripture, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to preach that. I really don't want to preach that. But God said, preach it, so you preach it. And God blessed, and it was what was needed. And I believe this is needed this morning for each and every one of us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and we know that word right there in the King James, charity means love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become of a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is done in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. Now listen, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, love. I want to preach a little while on what should matter most to you. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, God, for what you've already done this morning, for the sweet spirit that we can feel, God, for what you did in Sunday school, Lord. And God, I pray right now, Lord, as we open up your word, God. God, I pray, God, you'd help me right now as I try to expound on these scriptures, God. Lord, make the preaching easy for me, God. I pray, God, you'd clear my mind. I pray, God, you'd help me, Lord, that the words come out of my mouth, God, will be straight from the Holy Spirit, God. God, move me out of the way. Let all light, all glory shine on Jesus. And whatever's done, we'll praise you through it all, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When a person comes to Jesus for salvation and they get saved, the Holy Spirit gives each and every one of us spiritual gifts. We all got it. Whether or not you using it, that's left up to you. But we all got it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, spiritual gifts have their place in the body of Christ. Amen. We believe that spiritual gifts, some gifts like tongues and other things have been blown way out of proportion. Sometimes if you're not careful, it's all about the sensationalism. It's all about the me things. But understand, when God placed his love inside of us, it was placed by his saving grace. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. In other words, his love is working in us. John chapter 13, verse 35 says this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Amen. The Bible says that when we walk in love, we walk in obedience to the Lord. John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. When we love one another, we prove that we're saved by the grace of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abide in death. One of the problems at the church of Corinth was they was all about the spiritual gifts. Listen, when you get more about the spiritual gifts than you are about the one that saved you, there's something wrong. Now, if you start studying, they love the flesh. They love the spiritual gifts that made them look good. In chapter 12 through chapter 14, Paul writes this to combat the problems that existed at the church of Corinth. Chapter 12, it talks about the spiritual gifts and how they're given to us. Chapter 12 speaks about the body of Christ being strengthened and being blessed when individuals use this gift for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. Chapter 14 deals with the misuse of the spiritual gifts. Chapter 14 does not encourage the use of tongues. It actually discourages the use of tongues. Now, I didn't come to preach on that. Chapter 12 closes with this verse in verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Chapter 13, love. Now, chapter 13 is what matters most. Chapter 13 is a whole lot better. Love is a whole lot better than all the flashy things that we have. Love, if we can't show love, if we're not a loving church, that's one of the things that has been a testimony to this church. I've heard people say, you go to that church, they will love you. They will shower you with love. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way it's supposed to be in our spiritual walk and every individual Christian in this building. What matters most is not how wealthy you are. Me and Preacher Thad was talking about this week, and I'm not going to call any names, but you know what? And one preacher told him this, Brother Robert. He said, "When I pay my tithes, I make sure that the whole church sees me put my envelope in the plate." He said, "I don't pay my tithes online. Can't nobody see you like that. I don't care if you see me pay my tithes or not. That ain't got nothing to do with it." You know, the thing about it is, you know, if we ain't careful, we come to church and it's all about me. I leaned over and told Brother Skip when Mike was singing that song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's the only time in history that it was about you. It ain't never been about you since then. What matters most is how well we love. So I'm going to get on us all, so just go ahead and sit there and put your seatbelt on and get ready. Let's look at love distinction. The whole idea of this verse and this chapter is that we can better or how we do and how we love. Without love, everything that you do is a waste of time. Did you hear what I said? Without love, everything we do is a waste of time. Love is higher than the sensational. You may be a great speaker, but the Bible talks about right there that you'll become as a sounding brass. Has anybody ever heard just somebody with cymbals? How many, don't y'all get all quiet on me now. How many of y'all remember the Andy Griffith episode when they was getting the band together? And Barney had those cymbals, and Barney would rack those cymbals together. And without love, all you do, that's all it is. Amen. Cymbals by itself is awful. But you put cymbals in the right, you put cymbals out there with a marching band, and I'm telling you right now, it can sound good. But by itself, it ain't nothing. And that's what it is, you know. I love it when Mike gets up and sings, or Robert or Matt or somebody, or Gavin and Olivia, they get up and sing. And, you know, hey, just sing. Just sing. You ain't got to jump around. You ain't got to make all. I'm just sing. My Lord, if you singing about, and I've told groups, Brother Robert, and you've told them that come to this church, I tell them, David, listen, you get up there and sing, and God will do the rest. You start putting on a show, and we'll cut you off and shut you down. But I'm telling you right now, hey, it ain't about all the sensational. That's one of the reasons I never liked Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks thought he was supposed to have jump all over the stage and run and jump and fly and everything. I know we just did our hee-haw show. I always like Conway Twitty. Just stand there and sing. People just start passing out. It ain't all about the sensationalism. That's the problem in church we find now. Oh, we got to have the lights, and we got to dim the lights, and we got to have the smog, the fog machine, and all that. We got to have all this stuff flying around. My God, if you just can't open up a King James Bible, have somebody sing about Jesus. If you just can't open up a Bible and preach, there's something wrong, amen? Amen. Love is higher than the spectacular. Verse 2, it mentions several spectacular abilities that if you were able to do all these things, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I like what old Evie Hill said one time. Evie Hill said he was preaching, and he said this lady come up, Brother David, and got anointed, and she got, and God healed her. Said she come back the next night. She said, we ought to paint a sign, Evie Hill the healer. He said, no, we ain't doing that. He said, because I didn't heal you. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to die of something anyhow. You better praise Jesus, amen. Amen. Notice what it said now. So I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. That means I could open this Bible and tell you everything. David, wouldn't you love to be able to do that? Tell you everything about it and have not charity, or have not love, it ain't nothing. Love is higher than the sacrificial. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I can go over to the Congo and I could get eaten by a cannibal tribe and have not love, and it ain't going to mean one thing. You can give and give and give till it hurts. And if you don't love, it's not going to help you one bit. That's love. Now that's love's distinction. Let's look at love's description. Here's some truths that we need to be reminded of continually. Verse 4 through 6 talks about love's features. Number one, it says, suffereth long. This means right there, patiently enduring under provocation. Thought about it this morning as David was teaching. Moses said, if you're going to block them out, block me out. I'm like David, and I might would do that for my family. The rest of y'all would be in trouble. Amen. When it says suffereth long, I think about Stephen. Stephen is up there, David, getting stoned. They are stoning Stephen. Stephen is at the brink of death, and Stephen looks over, and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen says, Lord, lay not this charge to them. Most of us can't even, I can't believe somebody parked in my parking space. I just can't believe, they know I always park there. Now I didn't come this morning to get into marriage counseling. But I could. Charity suffereth long. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 said this. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 says, and he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth as a brought a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears. So he opened not his mouth. Understand this. One of Abraham Lincoln's most outspoken political opponents when he was running for office was a man named Edward J. Stanton. Stanton went so far as to call Abraham Lincoln a low, cunning individual. He said, and you don't have to worry about going down to a zoo. He said, if you want to see a gorilla, just go where Lincoln's at. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, Donald Trump would have had a fit over that. But when Abraham Lincoln was elected president, Guess who he chose to be his Secretary of War? Edward J. Stanton. Somebody said, why in the world would you do that? This individual hates you. He said, because he's the best man for the job. And when Abraham Lincoln was shot, the man standing beside his bed was Stanton, because Abraham Lincoln loved him into a friendship. Folks, I'm telling you, us in church could do a whole lot better job at loving than what we do. Love is not when Brother Tony misses a couple of Sundays and I run up to Brother Tony, where in the world you been? We ought to just get you a visitor card. Hello. Love is telling Brother Tony, I missed you, brother. It sure is good to have you back. And leave it at that. I'm just telling you, folks, we could do a better job at love. Love suffereth long. Verse 4, love is kind. That's an act of goodness that goes forth on behalf of others. Genuine love never hates or is mean. Hello, husband and wife. But respects others and reaches out to others. Genuine love envieth not. Verse 4, true love is not jealous over the abilities or the success of others. I'm going to just go ahead and throw this out there one time. I won't never forget when me and my wife got that little car we got out there. I pulled up that next Sunday, and I'm not going to call no names. His name was Scoopy. We roll up, I roll up, Brother Robert, and we have financed that car. And he said, I think we just paying the preacher too much. I loved him to death. That's why I can talk about him. But see, those kind of comments hurt. Genuine love is not jealous over other people. We ought to be happy when other people succeed. We ought to be happy. We ought to be praising God when other people do well and other people do good. Somebody, yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody said, well, have you seen such and such church over there? I just don't know what in the world they're doing. Well, if you pray harder for them, maybe God will bless you. Real love is not envious. Verse 4, vaunteth not itself. This phrase literally means do not make a parade or a show about it. That's where we start separating things in church. That's where we start separating the good and the bad in church, when it's all about the show and not about Jesus. We can put this in marriage too. And verse 4 says, not puffed up. That means it's not proud. Verse 5 says, does not behave itself unseemingly. Love is never rude. Did y'all church people hear that? Love is never rude. Did y'all married folks hear that? Love is never rude. Did all y'all teenagers hear that? Love is never rude. Did all y'all senior citizens hear that? It's amazing to me, and me and my wife talked about this a lot. It's amazing to me that the older folks get, they think that they got the right to just say anything they want to. Not according to the Bible, you don't. I mean, I preached a message, Greg, on the palm tree. The older a palm tree gets, the sweeter the fruit is on that palm tree. But that ain't like a lot of Christians. Verse 5 says, seeketh not her own. Love is never selfish or self-centered. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Love is not easily provoked. Verse 5, true love keeps no record of evils done against it. Now, some of y'all wives need to listen up. I don't know how the rest of y'all wives are, but now me and my wife can get in a little argument. She remembers everything I ever did from the first date. I don't remember what I did last week. And y'all think that we just can't remember what y'all did. I'm just being honest. Y'all ladies remember everything. But love don't keep score. I'm just being honest, okay? There have been times that me and my wife got in a little argument or whatever, and I'm thinking, boy, when I get home, I'm going to say this. You know what that is? That's keeping score. If we ain't careful, we do that at church. How many of us, last time I was at church, Robert didn't shake my hand. Robert ain't spoke to me in 2 weeks. Well, I just ain't going to speak to him. He speaks to me. I've heard that in church. Folks, that ain't love. Love don't keep score. Love is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, verse 5. Genuine love. Now listen, and me and my wife get into this all the time, and I'm just being honest, okay? This is not Preacher Tim and Mr. Juan hour of letting it all go. But I know Robert and Angie and Tony and Nancy, the same thing. How many of you have ever said, you know I love you, so you know you took that wrong? When you say something, genuine love don't think evil. And I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of times if we're not careful, we say things and the other person perceives it wrong. Amen. How many of us do that in church? And well, the problem with, just like me and my wife, when she says something, and I'm the world's worst for taking it wrong. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I know y'all a lot better than I am. Y'all holier than me, and I know you got a halo around your head and all that kind of stuff, but I'm the world's worst for taking it wrong. But true love should not think. I should stop and say, I know she loves me. She did not mean it that way, and I'm not going to take it that way. True love thinks no evil. The problem is a lot of us don't do that. Real love don't remember injury. Real love don't believe falseness. The Bible says in verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love don't rejoice in sin. The Bible says that we're supposed to hate sin. The Bible says we're not supposed to rejoice in sin. The Bible says we're not supposed to be happy about sin. Amen. True love don't gossip. Always gets quiet in church when you preach on gossip. Rejoices in truth, verse 6. Look at love's actions. Verse 7, it says, beareth all things. Beareth all things. How many people got mad in church and left because they didn't like what happened? True love. Pretty tough summer, ain't it? But if we're going to be Christians and we're going to get to where the rubber meets the road, we got to be honest. Amen. True love. Believeth all things. Verse 7, love always believes the best. Or love always believes the best about a person. And I'll go back to me and my wife. That's how we ought to be. I should believe the very best of her. And no matter what the situation is, I should believe the very best. I'm going to just break this down for us so we can understand it. I believe that about David. I believe that about Skip. I believe that about Tony. I believe it about Robert. I believe it about Tommy. But how come I can't believe it about my wife? If I'm going to believe it about my deacons, why can't I believe it about Wes? If I'm going to believe it about, understand something, true love Understand something, folks. We have got to put this into practice. This is not something that God just put in the Bible randomly. Understand, God put this chapter in there for a reason. Amen. We're supposed to show the love of God to all people. We're not supposed to just love the ones that's in this building. We're to love all people. That means you're supposed to love the drunk on the street. That means we're supposed to love the drug addicts. We're supposed to invite them to church. We're supposed to invite the one driving the Mercedes to church, and we're supposed to invite the one walking down the road to church. True love. Look at love's durability. Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. If our love is right, we don't have a problem with our faith. If our love is right, we don't have a problem with our faithfulness. If our love is right, we won't have a problem with our tithing. If our love is right, we won't have a problem being faithful to church. True love. First John chapter 4, verse 8. Now listen to this. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When the Bible wants to describe God, it says God is love. It didn't say God is faith, because after all, God ain't got to have faith in nothing. He's God, amen. It didn't say God is hope, because what's God got to hope for? He knows everything. But the Bible, if we want to be like God, then we're going to have to show forth the love. I'd heap rather be known as a preacher that loved than a preacher that spoke in tongues. I'd heap rather be known as a preacher that loved than a preacher that can sing the house down. I'd rather be known as a preacher that loved than a preacher that could preach. Because you listen to me. I know preachers right now, and I'm not saying this in no derogatory term, okay? Brother Tony, I know preachers right now, and you do too, that's not necessarily the greatest preacher. But they love. They love. They're a great pastor. They have compassion. They love on the people. And I'm going to understand that when you get a preacher that has love and you get a preacher that can preach, I'm just telling you, you got a combination that's very rare in Free Will Baptist, Pentecostal, or whatever you got. And it's very rare sitting in our pews to find somebody that loves unconditional. I'm like David, and like I said in Sunday school. Moses told God, said, if you're going to blot out their name from out the book, blot me out. I'd probably do that for my wife, and I'd probably do that for my kids and grandkids, but the rest of y'all be in trouble. Someone wrote this, and Matt, come sing something. What is love? Listen up now. What is love? Love is silence when your words could hurt. Love is patience when your words could cut. Love is deafness when the scandal flows. Love is thoughtfulness for others' woes. Love is promptness when duty calls. Love is courage when misfortune falls. Let me ask you a question. Is there any room in your love life for church people? Is there any room in your love life for Christians? Is there any room in your love life for sinners? Is there any room in your love life for improvement? Let me ask you a question.